Truvillion Next is a division of Truvillion, a financial services specialist search and talent advisory firm. Since inception, the Truvillion team has dedicated itself to enhancing the return on investment of a company's most important resource, its people.
Hi, everyone. Patrick Cooney here, executive recruiter with Truvillion. I sit on Truvillion's community banking and fintech team, and I'll be making my debut today on our content site, joining the likes of Brian Love and Keith Daly to get some great information out there in our space, the talent side, the consulting side, and the search side of banking and fintech. I'm excited to be here today, and with me is Tyrone Watson Ferguson, who I've gotten to know very well over the course of my time here. And Tyrone is the CISO for Security Bank of Kansas City, and he leads the helm of information cybersecurity efforts there. Very lucky to have Tyrone with us today. I've gotten to know him well, and I think we have a lot of good insight to provide for banks that are getting into that tech space. Everything's becoming a little bit more digitized right now, and that leads to a lot of opportunity, but also opens the door to a little more threat and concern for malicious actors out there. So I think we're going to be able to take away a lot today. And Tyrone, thank you again. Let me leave it to you to introduce yourself. Tell us about your time in the space, and then we'll deviate into the conversation.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me, Patrick. Great introduction. Like you said, I've been the CISO here at Security Bank of Kansas City in the Kansas City metropolitan area. I've been employed with the bank for 5 years, serving in the CISO role. Before that, I was at Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City for a little under 11 years, and I held different roles there, but the last 5.5 years was strictly in security. So got to see stuff from different angles and different perspectives. So happy to be here.
Excited to have you, Tyrone. So thank you. I believe this is actually our first piece on information security and cybersecurity, and probably won't be our last. So
glad to be on the maiden voyage.
Awesome. Thank you, Tyrone. So again, today we're going to be breaching the topic of cybersecurity and information security within the bank space. As I mentioned a little bit earlier, we focus a lot on tech forward banks. We focus a lot on emerging fast banks. And with all of the virtue that comes from connections, APIs, partnerships with either fintechs or different vendors, it can create a lot of opportunity, but also it opens a lot of doors, windows for threats to get in. It's ever evolving, and it's difficult to manage, especially when there are multiple different people involved in making those connections work. So what I'd like to try to accomplish today is to give some insight to, you know, our banking executives, our emerging BaaS banks, for what they might want to consider when going down the path of either getting into a fintech partnership, going onto the cloud, just securing your data, any kind of an internal insight that you might need to look into for your technologies and how to keep them safe. So with that today, Tyrone's going to hopefully share some of his awesome experience and insight for that purpose. One of the first things I would like to try to get into is the topic of compliance and regulation within that information security space. Tyrone, how does CISOs stay up to date, and who do you partner with to make sure that we're aware of any changing regulatory concerns, any compliance initiatives? It's multifaceted. How do you, from your seat, stay up to date, and who do you work with mostly to make sure you're on par with those expectations?
So the cool part is that there's a lot of resources out there. And in banking, it's a regulatory requirement that you have threat intelligence or prove that you have mechanisms in place to stay up to date. And so the FFIEC, which is our primary regulator, they often reference FS Isaac.
That's FS Isaac?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So we use them a lot. It's a membership, but you can also sign up for FDIC and other threat intelligence. We get threat intelligence from our security vendors that we work with that provides us with, you know, some of the tools we use.
And with those updates, that information, working with the vendors, like who might be some of the key collaborators that you work with, either, you know, within Security Bank or with those vendors? Is there typically a primary contact or position that you partner with most frequently?
Oh man, so internal, you never know. If it's something that is on, let's say, a customer facing aspect of it, a lot of my job is really internal, securing the network, stuff like that. And so most of the stakeholders I deal with are other department heads or managers or whomever. But we also have a hand, or we aid in this, the customer facing aspects of it. So off the top of my head, fraud, our fraud department, you know, we work hand in hand with them a lot.
Okay.
Our electronic banking department, they administer a lot of the electronic banking apps. We work with them a lot. So it's really a hodgepodge or a group effort. We have to understand how that threat affects our customers or our infrastructure, and then share the information accordingly internally. And then we really game plan from there. So let's say it's a customer facing bank Trojan that a customer could download from the Google Play app. And that once they download it, it tries to figure out their credentials for online banking and then create fraudulent transactions. So for me, that would be three different departments.
Okay.
That include ours that we're communicating with. Hey, close up the hole on the banking platform, and then working with the fraud department to help kind of do the cyber forensics aspect of it, to paint a picture of what actually happened, so we can really help the customers get their money back if money was lost, and then prevent any more losses to us or to the customer.
Okay. So that's kind of the trifecta team that you function with there to address those issues.
Mm-hmm.
And the Trojan, reference to the old Trojan horse entry port.
Oh, yeah, that. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's been big as of last couple weeks, really. A lot of fake apps or malicious apps, and, you know, the market that people download, they look real. And then there are screen scrapers in some cases, or all kind of stuff, all nice goodies out there.
Awesome. Kind of leveraging off of that third party relationship, vendors, outsourcing any kind of security components. What might go into vetting who you might partner with? That was a big question I had, as a lot of new engagements are happening. You know, who do we want to work with? And then how do we vet them out and kind of feel good about being on the same page with standards?
Oh, man. So that's another good thing. We have a vendor management department, and actually or function, and it rose up through me as of January. But there's a process to vet a vendor. And I think for us, I like to look at it as we vet the vendor to see if we want to do business with the vendor. And then we vet the product separately.
Okay.
So the vendor could be awesome. You know, they're in great financial health. They have business license. They're licensed to do business. Those are some of the surface level things that you vet with a vendor, depending on the criticality of that vendor to your environment. You know, if it's a person that's going to be maybe washing your windows, but you don't want to go through this stringent process, all this overhead for incidental vendors is what we typically call them for. But if they're going to manage your infrastructure, then you absolutely want to vet the vendor and the quality of their stuff. So, you know, you're looking at their business license, maybe their business rating, and then their controls they have in place to make sure they secure their stuff that could lead to possibly a breach in your environment. So you're going to look at their security assessments, SOC reports, things of that nature. And that's for the vendor and their controls. And then for the product vetting is a little bit different. You have to understand the risk that that product introduces into your environment. Do you need to open up any firewall rules, any ports protocols? Will it affect DLP? What about disaster recovery? If this vendor goes down, how does that affect your environment? Do they have the proper disaster recovery things in place so you can continue doing business as usual? If not, can you supplement that on your end? So you look at all that stuff from the product standpoint. So those are the two buckets we talk typically manage the vendors in: the vendor itself, and then the product that the vendor is pushing.
Got it. Another term, Tyrone, that you mentioned before was playbook. And is that something that you helped developing? Is that an open-ended? I mean, because I would have to imagine that as you come across different instances, issues, that's just going to continue to be mapped out and plans made, new proactive measures taken. You know, what does that playbook look like? And does who really has a part in helping script that playbook?
Oh, man. So all the stakeholders in the process should have a part in creating the playbook, because they're all going to have a part to play in making sure that things get done in that playbook. So if it's security and it's our playbook, let's say for like ransomware, we're going to have all of our steps lined out as to what we're going to do first. And then if we have to communicate with another department, you know, we want to get their input on how they would handle the incident from their perspective. We add those things together and we put them in a sequential order, which is important. And then you go from there. You know, you run through it, you know, tabletop exercises, live fire exercises, if you can manage that. It's all about risk. But the principle of the playbook doesn't change. You know what I mean? And that's where it pays to really have an understanding of what you're trying to accomplish. The technologies may change and once you get these things done, but the principle of the playbook doesn't change. So if you focus on what's the principle of the playbook, what's the purpose of it, and then you understand the role that each technology plays in that purpose, say like your EDR, some EDRs, you have the ability to automatically quarantine a bunch of machines at once, right? Or it'll say, hey, I stopped this process from running. It's ransomware. You know, one of these files were encrypted. It's a canary file. It'll automatically tell all the other systems in that EDR, don't allow this process to run, quarantine it. You don't have to do anything. It just does it. Some of them don't. And so you may have to say, hey, I quarantine this file on this machine, but the EDR may not communicate in the same manner. Like the other agents should pick it up, but let's say they don't, for whatever reason, these machines have different policies on, right? So you quarantine it and you look at the other machines in that immediate network, right? Let's say you're all in one branch. So you're all gonna be on the same subnet. So you're gonna say, hey, the playbook will say quarantine machine or quarantine this whole branch. How you do that may be different based on the EDR or the technology you have, but the principle is the same. Isolate that branch.
Awesome. No, this was really, really awesome, Tyrone. Is there any other parting thoughts that you might have that you'd want to put out into the banking space from an InfoSec perspective, and maybe for a bank that's just getting into making some transformations, either with their platform or working with another partner? Any simple parting words, or do you think we covered the bulk of it?
Oh, I think one thing that also just it helps everyone is really try to be collaborative.
Okay.
You know, don't make decisions in the vacuum. We're literally protecting the business and the assets of the business. And so if you're not collaborating, and you don't understand the importance of the business, what's important to them, then you can end up, you know, spending money on controls to protect something that the business doesn't really care about that much, or it doesn't pose a large risk, right? And so the risk and the rewards, the business decides what that looks like for them, the risk appetite. It's our job to make sure that we understand that, and then we put controls in place to make sure the business functions as safely as possible with the acceptable risk. There's an table stakes risk that comes with doing business, and some businesses have a higher risk threshold than others. And so understanding the business risk threshold and making sure your environment and the controls you put in place, including processes, don't just depend on technology, including processes, help facilitate everything as safely as possible.